Hi, and welcome to Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly program about finance, money, and investing. I'm your host, Ray Trevison from OTG Capital. We broadcast locally on Radio Northern Beaches and nationally on the Community Radio Network. This week, I'm really, really pleased to welcome to the microphone for the first time, Nick Friedman from Retire on Purpose. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Ray.
I must say, I often get a little bit spooked because I get approached by a lot of people, some great, some not so. And so I was a little bit dubious, but I must say, listeners, I really have been incredibly impressed with what Nick has shown me. He's given me a bit of a taster. And what we're talking about, Nick, today is, I guess, retiring on purpose. And that's the name of your website. And so what I might do is just flick over a little bit to you and maybe give you an opportunity to introduce yourself and maybe tell the listeners why you decided to retire on purpose.
So I have been, very quick background to add on to that, I've worked in leadership development for 20 years, building and teaching learning programs. Mm-hmm. And the origins of this business, when I had a pivot a few years ago, was a European client of mine who invited me over to Zurich in Switzerland and said, Nick, I know you're great at building learning programs and attacking sort of challenges. I can't find the thing I'm looking for. I want to build a transition to retirement program. Close to 20% of our 4,000 employees in Europe are going to be retiring in the next decade. And I can find financial advisors. I can find doctors who will give people medicals. I can find some very primitive sort of thoughts on it, but I haven't found a holistic package yet. So, built the program in 2019, and in the process of researching that and looking into the aging population in Europe, Australia, and globally, I learned a huge amount. It's not something that's in mainstream news, but two people globally around the world every second turn 60, 58 million people around the world every year.
I did mine a few years back, so yes, I know that. I know that feeling. Yes.
Yeah. I looked at this and I went, well, when we think about retirement, so I often ask people a question: when you think about retirement planning, what do you think about? Pretty much everybody says finances, dollars, exactly, because that's the world that we function with. It's economic. There's a multi-trillion-dollar sector that's, you know, grown in Australia and around the world. I decided to sort of, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't have an AFSL license. I have nothing to do with that. I built a program which is all about what we would call holistic retirement planning. So looking at all of the different areas of life, finances being, if you like, one part of them, and then saying, well, for an individual to retire well, to be happy, to have a meaningful, purposeful existence for a period of their life that can be 20 to 30 years, we put it into perspective. Yeah. It's not just like 5 years. It's a significant amount of time. You know, I believe we need to actually start a new narrative. Maybe not a new one, but upgrade the narrative, right? What does it take for a human being to kind of go, I'm coming to the end of my career and I'm transitioning into this new way of life. What do I need to think about? What kind of plan do I need? Because, of course, without money, your quality of life is going to dwindle relatively quickly. But it's not the only determining factor for joy, happiness, success, this kind of thing.
Yeah, I must say, when people say money isn't everything, you know, I still scratch my head and say, well, it's not. But, you know, without it, you know, life becomes an awful darn more miserable than with it. And so I think one of the things that really attracted me to this program that you've developed is that it treats finance as one element or a spoke in a wheel or whatever anecdote you want to use. But I think from the holistic perspective, it's really pleasing to see that you are approaching this not just from dollars and cents, but I have many people coming onto the show. And earlier in the year, I had a very famous footballer, Simon Madden, who came on and talked about men's mental health. Now, I guess one of the things that is always a curiosity to me, and one of the reasons that I know, and I'm going to do everything I can to put you in front of a whole bunch of people, because we need to be talking a lot more than just money when it comes to retirement. And you're absolutely right. When the retirement was first devised back in the early 1900s, the average age of a man at that time living was roughly 61 to 62 years old. And so they set the retirement age at 65. Fast forward a century, we've updated the retirement age a little bit. We're 67 here in Australia. I think it's 67 in the UK now. Yes. The French are rioting in the streets because they've been asked to retire beyond 60. So it's you know, varies country to country, but all of a sudden the average age that we're living to has expanded quite dramatically in that 100 years because of advances of medical science. And so, Nick, it's incredibly topical because a whole range of different subjects I've looked at during the year have approached different parts of this, but you sort of bring it all together into this program that all of a sudden I'm looking at that and scratching my head going, man, this actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and, you know, you've hit the nail on the head in terms of if you look at the thinking and the belief systems around how we plan and sort of look at retirement, they were designed 100, 200 years ago with the changes of, you know, us living longer. Context, the background context that people are walking into at the end of their career is significantly different than our original thinking. The thinking hasn't caught up yet. That's the simplest way to explain it. So whilst we continue to just kind of say, let me give you an example of it. We have sort of go into, if you know, we're talking about health. We understand a huge amount about the brain that we did 40, 50 years ago. That study is called neuroscience. And one of the interesting things about the study of the brain and neuroscience is that as we think consistently, we build what's called neural structures in the brain, neural networks. They form belief systems and then they inform our individual experience of day to day. So when we're looking at the present moment in time, we're always filtering it through the memory banks of the past. Now, over a period of someone's career, which is 4 decades, which if we look at that hours, it's a whopping 80,000 hours. It's a lot of time. That, as a neuro, the building of the brain and the structures of the brain, that's a really significant amount of time to be focused on work. Now, our current thinking around retirement is work really hard up until Friday night, go and have a few drinks with your work colleagues, and then Monday morning get out of bed and have a 20 to 30 year holiday. That's the general narrative at the moment. When you stop and actually think about it, I'm from the north of England. I tend to call a spade a spade. So
you're kind of right, and so that's why when I read your background information and looked at your website, so many stories and anecdotes and people I meet at investment conferences that are on the cusp or have just retired have the same issue where they've worked. All of a sudden, Friday night comes along, they have a few bevvies with their mates, and then Monday, it's all of a sudden, oh, my God, what am I doing for the rest of my life?
Yeah, and that concept of what am I doing for the rest of my life is a big, you know, back to your original question, how did I get into this? Why did I get into it? I sort of stumbled into it through a business opportunity, but the more I looked at it, I went, we actually really need to do this. It's socially the right thing to do. We need to get this message out there because there are literally, you know, hundreds of thousands of people every year in Australia, millions globally, that are stepping into this new way of life without really having given it a lot of thought. And that itself, it's not rocket science. You know, you take a few deep breaths a year or two beforehand, you go through a learning experience and you figure out what you want to do next. But to not have that conversation, to not think that way, and to just kind of step forward into this new way of life with most people land in it with, you know, some ideas of, well, I'll play a bit more, I'll tend to the garden, we're going to go on a cruise, this kind of thing. There's a lot of kind of tick boxes almost. But once that honeymoon period ends, particularly people that say have been in, you know, senior leadership position, might have run their own business, this kind of thing, you go from kind of leading a team, being responsible for a huge amount of sort of human beings, lots of challenge, lots of stress, to very little. It's a huge shock. It's a massive shock. And it sort of catches people unawares. I'm sure you may have some, let me ask the question. Do you have any friends that have gone through this? Do you know people that have had that moment where they've just gone, oh my gosh, this was not the dream that I got sold?
Well, I went through it by force because 12 years ago in the IT industry, all of a sudden when you turn 50, some people looked at me and said, we don't want to hire somebody that's old enough to be our father anymore. And fascinatingly, I think one of the similarities, we have a regular contributor here on Dollars Making Sense, Philippa Hunt, who is a psychologist, and she's developed a learning program for women. Now, women and finance, she has something called Wise Girls Money. The reason she developed that education program is not because of retirement per se, but because of divorce. So that when women and men start separating at that time when kids reach 18 to 20 odd years old, they're just about to leave school, women are faced with the kind of dilemma men have, not at retirement, but at divorce. And I think there's a lot of very good statistics out there that Philippa has been quoting to me all the time on the show and beyond, that when a woman comes out of a divorce, they usually come out a lot worse. And there might be men that might contend, but the statistics don't lie. Women come out of it a lot worse than men, and they take a longer to recover from both emotional, psychological, and financial distress from these kind of breakups. And so Philippa has done that. But this now addresses, would I be fair to say that reading the materials, a lot of the material that you've developed tends to be a little male focus, or am I reading that differently?
No, it's gender neutral. It's gender neutral. Maybe there's a bit of masculine energy coming through because I'm a man, and it's not, you know, the branding's very bold and strong and, you know, sort of that kind of thing. That's probably, I used to work in advertising for 12 years at the beginning of my career. So, you know, when I started work, I was in London working with, you know, creative people coming up with ad campaigns for like Mercedes-Benz and Harley Davidson and stuff. So my eye for look making things look really good, perhaps a little bit well honed. So, but no, to answer the question, the last program that I ran, we had more women on it than men. These challenges are the same. I mean, I would say the difference, and again, it's very risky starting to use gender to differentiate people because it's such a broad brush. So I just need to put my hand up and say, hey, look, this isn't everybody, because, you know, I've done a lot of psychological profiling across the leadership development work I've done, and the granularity of our human experience, like when you get into it and you look under the bonnet, we're all completely different. But if you want to use a very, very broad brush for gender, I would say perhaps one of the greatest challenges that men might face more than women in the transition into retirement is the loss of community, the loss of human relationship. I'm not talking about spouse. Mm. I'm talking about women naturally are naturally better at forming communities. It's sort of it's inbred, it's innate, it's the mothering, it's that nurturing gene. And blokes don't do it all that well, if we're really honest. So if we get that sense from work of, I've got a bunch of mates, I have colleagues, I have people I can go out for a few beers with on a Friday night, or go for lunch with, or round a golf, or whatever the social interaction is. And the predominant relationships are through the workspace. I have heard quite a few stories of people going, where's everybody gone? You know, it's like, where's everybody gone? It's kind of like, well, okay. Who do you know that you don't work with? Because they're still at work. So, you know, and there are some lovely initiatives. There's a male, you could call it a male wellbeing organization called MenShed, which is actually gets men together into a community environment where they actually sort of do collective projects like woodworking and fixing up kids' toys that are broken and getting involved in community projects. So there are there's challenges for both genders. I don't want to say it's
sure.
Okay.
Well, look, it's just about time for a break. You're on Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly program about finance, money, and investing. I'm your host, Ray Trevison. I have at the microphone today Nick Friedman from Retire on Purpose. We're going to go for a short break, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Hi, and thank you for listening to Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly radio program about finance, money, and investing on Radio Northern Beaches and nationally on the Community Radio Network around Australia. The views, comments, and opinions aired during our program should not be construed or viewed as financial advice. Any commentary is general advice only and does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. You should consider whether the advice is suitable for you and your personal circumstances. If in doubt, you should contact an authorised, licensed financial planner. We welcome questions and feedback, and you can get in touch with us via our blog, social media channels, or email. Please search for Dollars and Making Sense
in your favourite podcast platform or check out our blog at otgcapital.com.au/blog.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly program about finance, money and investing. I'm your host, Ray Trevison from OTG Capital. And at the microphone today, I'm really pleased to have Nick Friedman from Retire on Purpose. And we are talking about today retiring and transitioning to retirement rather than, as you rightly said just before we went to the break, Nick, going to work Friday one day and then coming the realization on Monday, you're all of a sudden you're on a 30-year holiday. Ouch. It is a bit of a cliff that some people don't plan for. And I guess part of the reason I've asked you on the show is we're all about education here at Dollars and Making Sense. And part of the education process is preparation, 6 P's. I'm a big believer in the 6 P's. Prior preparation prevents poor performance. It's the army in me. And so this is all about preparing for retirement, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay. Yes. So one of the things that really attracted me is that you've used one of the basis of your formulation of your program is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so I might flick back to you and ask you how you use that hierarchy to develop this program.
Yeah, it's a great question. Thank you. So typically when I built 100 or so learning programs across a two decade period. So typically what I do when I'm actually at the beginning of that process of saying there's a human being that's going through some kind of change, how can I best support that human being? I look for models, I look for tools, I look for ways to make the learning very robust. So it's not just, it's a bunch of thoughts in my head, but I'm tapping back into, they call it standing on the shoulders of giants. It's like, who are the wisdom teachers in the past that we can go, well, that bit of kit's really solid. If I incorporate that into my learning experience, then it's gonna help. So I decided to sort of tune in with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's a very well research sort of bit of
well understood.
Some critics say, look, Nick, it's evolved, you need to kind of upgrade it, but I have a lot more complex ways of explaining things. But typically what I find is if you get too complex, you lose people. So it's somewhere there's a balance of like, okay, we need some robustness, but let's just kind of choose something that works and we know it's pretty solid. So a simple explanation: Maslow was a behavioral psychologist. He built a triangle or a hierarchy of what he called the hierarchy of needs. If we look at what actually a need is, it's an essential, it's a must-have. And if we, in our experience of life, if we are meeting that need, as in we have some level of sufficiency or abundance in that need, we'll be okay. If we have a deficiency, as in a lack, in that particular area of life, it shows up as problems. So earlier on, you were talking about, people talking about money and how important is it. You work in that space. You know what it's like if somebody doesn't have enough money to live on. That would be a deficiency. So the whole financial advice sector, the investments, the super, the property, whatever pathway people follow, has a simple question. Do I have enough money to retire on? And if you can say yes to that question, whether that's like, I can just about make it, or I've done really well and I can really look after myself, that's a surplus. If there's a deficiency, it's a significant problem. So when I looked at the hierarchy of needs, I kind of overlaid it onto that transition to retirement experience, and we get some interesting observations. So the first level is a physical health. So I heard a great quote the other day, the healthy man or woman has 1,000 dreams. The unhealthy man has one, or woman has one, which is if you're not well, you want to get well. And that's all you focus on. So you could retire and having invested really well for 4 decades, expert advice, kind of getting there, and you're like, I'm covered. We're going, we've got holidays every year, and whatever that looks like for the individual. And then you have like a double hip replacement because you have some kind of surfing accident, and you struggle to walk and, this kind of thing. It's almost like our money doesn't mean as much because your quality of life is going to go down.
Very true. Quality of life becomes quite important, doesn't it?
Exactly. So physical health, really important. That's a system that's taken care of. We've got doctors, we've got hospitals, we've got gyms on every street corner, we've got abundance of yoga teachers.
We have Medicare, so we have an underpinning of a safety net. So absolutely. I think we're luckier than most in that regard. You know, people may complain about it, but it's underpins a lot of, I guess, aged care for sure.
Absolutely. There's a system there. The second level is security. And so we can call that wealth, money, you know, dollars, cents, the whole thing. And so I'm not going to focus too much on that because that's where all the current narrative is. So it's like if you're listening to the show and you're thinking, I'm concerned, do I have enough money to live on? And find a great financial advisor. They'll help you. I'm not that person. I'm very open about that. And, you know,
my God, ladies and gentlemen, a shock, somebody that doesn't want to sell you a financial product. There we go. First.
I'm explicit about that. I was chatting with one the other day and saying, do you want to kind of partner up? And he said, Nick, you're not like a financial, you're not going to come near the finances, are you? I'm like, I don't go near them. I would get arrested if I did. So anyway, I'm explicit about it. So we're going to go up to level three, and that is relationships and community. Now, here we were sort of talking about that a little bit before the break. Now, here's the interesting thing is that we're social beings. Whether we're an extrovert and we need a lot of social interaction, or an introvert and we kind of go, you know, once or twice a week, I just need to hang out with somebody to get that social need met. We are social beings. And so, again, that isn't really talked about. Where is that in the narrative? Where is somebody going, I'm coming to the end of my career. I really should think about, have I got enough mates? You know, this kind of thing. So that's a really big part of things. Level four, we can collectively call it learning and growth. Now, if we have a job, we work in some kind of role, whatever that's manual labor, it's an intellectual role, it's a leadership role, whatever it looks like, we have a degree of stretch, we have a degree of learning. A salesperson will be looking at a dashboard and go, by the end of the month, I've got to sell this amount of products or services to tick the box for this month. You know, there's a stretch there, there's a challenge. Again, if we don't have something to fill that, we don't have something to replace that at the end of work, it's a huge void. It's like we just disappears. Like, oh. So that manifests as boredom, low drive, lack of motivation, that feeling, and that's a downward spiral. It's sad to say that there's a relationship between that and mental health and depression. We don't feel, Maslow called level four self-esteem, if we don't feel I put some effort out and then I get something back and I achieve a goal, that makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. We don't have that anymore in life. It directly affects our experience of life. So again, we need to sort of get that conversation into the narrative as well. And then level five, a quirky term that Maslow used, you know, self-actualization. What does that actually mean? So I've just simplified it and called it higher purpose. Yeah. Now, whatever, there's a lot of stuff being talked about with purpose these days. It seems to be a trendy buzzword. But in simple terms, if we say, well, what actually is purpose? Purpose is serving something bigger than yourself. That could be a group of humans that you're affiliated with. It could be animals. It could be the planet. It could be your grandchildren. It could be a particular thing. And it's really simple. It's like a cycle. We put energy out into the world towards something. It lands and then it comes back to us. And so if we have this kind of cycle of energy flowing between, you know, I go out into the world, I connect with some group or something or, you know, this kind of thing. When we get that coming back to us, it's hard to explain. It's one of those softer things, nothing to do with finances again, but it's fuel, it's motivation. It's this sense of...
It's the reason you get out of bed in the morning, you know?
You
why am I getting out of bed? And if you're retired without a job all of a sudden, you're absolutely right. I've met people that are thoroughly, thoroughly bored once they finish work because they haven't got anything else.
And that's it, you know? So I came about building this program with from a very fresh perspective. When I put this program in front of sort of, you know, talking to a lot of people in the financial advice space, and they're like, you know, this is interesting. Like, why haven't we done this before? And I'm going, I don't know. But it's like I seem to be in a space where I've built something. Everyone up on it in front of it goes, yeah, this is pretty cool. And I'm scratching my head a bit going, well, how come we weren't talking about this already? that's irrelevant in some ways. It's like, let's start talking about it now. Let's get it on the radar for people. Like, this is my view. It's like, we need to, I'm doing my best to get a message out there, to get in front of groups of people and say, look, here's things.
Nick, that's one of the reasons I asked you to come onto the show, because we need to add some dimensions to our lives, and it's not just about dollars and cents. And a radio show that educates, because we strive, for example, with the content of our show, to expand people's horizons beyond just making money, because it's not going to be the be-all and end-all. I mean, I love your approach, KISS principle. Keep it simple. Let's not complicate things, because, you know, ex-army person I am, I think simplicity is key. And one of the things I really like about your program, it is simplistic, but also dives deeply as well when you need to. But I think the elements that we're looking at as well is that higher purpose. And one of the things that I keep telling many, many people, you know, in the last few years, I've discovered swimming again, and I swim with mates, male friends. And this is something that was a bit of a new thing for me. So I've got to say to my friends, Tim and Andy, who I swim with every Thursday, it's been a real revelation, not just the friendship, but also I think the growth opportunities. I mean, we sit down after we've done our swim and we solve the world's problems. I mean, they keep getting it wrong and I keep getting it right, but that's okay. We'll work that out sooner or later. So, look, I think from the broad spectrum, Nick, I think there's a lot to be gained. Now, one of the things I did want to do is a little bit of a shameless plug for you. You're going to be running an event in the new year locally, but you've also do events online for people that aren't local to our listening area here in Sydney, don't you?
That's true. I do. In simple terms, with a shameless plug, I'm an online learning program that's accessible anywhere in the world, very, very affordable. It's available on the website. And I also teach Zoom programs for people, sort of. And then when I built the Zoom programs, it was slap bang in the middle of COVID. We weren't allowed in rooms. So I've recently kind of gone, that feels like it's in the rearview mirror now. There's no echoes of that in the media anymore. So essentially, I'm going to be workshopping the Northern Beaches February the 27th in 2024. So there'll be information on my website for that for people.
Wonderful, Nick. We're just about out of time here on Dollars and Making Sense. Real pleasure to have you on the show. I'd like to come back to you in 6 months' time, have another chat, see how you've gone after you've had a chat to a few people. And again, thanks for being on Dollars and Making Sense.
Thanks for having me, Ray.